These are the voices of Rotary.
The voices that tell our stories.
The voices that share our why.
The voices that make our lives matter.
The voices that relieve suffering and anguish.
These are the voices of Rotary that change lives.
Take a listen.
Welcome to episode 4 of The Almeida Fire Rising from the Ashes. I am Michelle Corradetti, past president of the Rotary Club of Medford and incoming assistant governor for Area 10 of District 5110 in Southern Oregon.
And I'm Alan Harper, past president of the Rotary Club of Ashland. Thanks for joining us in this podcast. In the first episode, we explored the start of the Almeida Fire that ripped from Ashland up through Phoenix and Talent, Oregon, and to the very outskirts of the major population center of the Rogue Valley, Medford, Oregon. The second and third episodes were all about the day of the fire, the evacuation, and the immediate aftermath. The stories were primarily told through several people: Chris Chambers, a Rotarian and past president of the other Ashland Club, who's also fire district chief in Ashland, and Joan Williamson, a Rotarian in my club, who survived the path of the fire. We also interviewed Catalina and her son, Adriel Gomez, who lost their home in the fire. They were living in Phoenix, Oregon. And Guy Tower, a chief economist for the state of Oregon, who happened to be presenting at Michelle's club as the fire started. In this last episode, episode 4 of our podcast, Michelle and I will focus on Rotary's response to the Almeida Fire and how we've served the victims and these communities. And we also have some very good follow-up stories on what's happened to the people we've interviewed.
To recap the devastation from the Almeida Fire, there were 2,600 homes lost, according to Jefferson Public Radio, 160 businesses lost, which equated to roughly 550 jobs. Guy Tower now describes the devastating impact from this fire on the Phoenix and Talent communities.
Well, it really took the core of some of the central business district of Phoenix and Talent. So that's where we lost so many businesses. And then at the same time, so many people are displaced. People are doubled up, still hundreds of people in hotels, living with other friends and family. And so we've really lost, the communities. It's those, multi-generational families that were there. So it's really hard to put a price tag on, those families that grew up in those, many of those mobile home parks there where, generations of people live close together. And now many of those families are spread out, staying with different friends and different relatives. And they've lost all that.
As the smoke cleared on the Almeida Fire, many members of our community were wondering the same thing. How on earth would we rebuild the devastation, the homes lost, and the businesses lost? Adriel Gomez, who was just 16 at the time of the fire, whose family lost everything, had words that reflected pretty much what we were all thinking at the time.
Who's actually going to be there to help rebuild? And I want to know that there's people still out there willing to give anything they can for their city and just their county.
But it is Rotarians that step up and help and rebuild communities. And in our community, Rotarians would certainly do that. And I would agree with Guy Tower that it might be the silver lining from this whole horrible episode.
When you see just the acres and acres of devastation and the miles as you drive down 99 or ride along the Greenway bike path, it's hard to see the silver lining in it. I guess as a community, the silver lining that I've seen is how people want to work together and help people.
Rotarians are people of action, and the response was almost immediate with the Almeida Fire. Hear how District Governor at the time, Cindy O'Neill, responded when she heard the news.
I remember this like it was yesterday. It was so shocking, so cataclysmic that, it's still with me. The day of the fire, I held a Rotary Zoom meeting with the Rotary Club of Ashland, And I recall Pamela, the assistant governor, Pamela Norton, saying, "We've got a high winds warning." And I had just been to Ashland and Southern Oregon visiting service projects, and it was, you know, definitely hot the previous 2 weeks to that. And I thought, oh boy, we've had no rain. We've got high winds. I used to work for the Forest Service, and I thought, this is a real danger sign. Well, we all know what happened. The fire in Talent Phoenix blew up, and within 24 hours, it blew itself out, but 2,500 people had lost their homes. I had another Zoom call, a Rotary Club meeting with Central Point the very next day. And I thought, I think I'll still have this meeting, but I won't be giving my talk. So what I did when we got online with Central Point Rotary Club, I said, you know, I would love to hear how you all are. Please tell me what's going on. Well, Rotarian after Rotarian told me their story and how they were related or not related, but horrified by the fire that had occurred 24 hours ago. And I was so impressed by what actions were being taken already. The president of the club, who was a veterinarian, talked about the two vet clinics that had been lost in the fire and was already delivering pet food and critical medicines to the fairgrounds to make sure that people's pets that had been evacuated there were getting the care they needed. That was just one of like 20 stories that I heard where I sat there. But I also talked to the incoming director of our zones 26-27 in Western United States about what other governors were doing on other fires. And Vicki Pulitz, the incoming director, said, you know, you ought to call your classmate, Joy Anderson. She just applied for a disaster relief grant and received $25,000 in 48 hours for the fire that she's dealing with in California. So I called Joy. We talked. She sent me a copy of the grant she wrote. I forwarded it to Tim Mobley and said, Tim, I would like to dedicate this very first disaster relief grant to the Alameda Fire.
Not only did past District Governor Tim Mobley take immediate action on the disaster relief grant, his wife, Leanne, was also a prominent figure in taking action.
So with having heard about the fires and knowing that I already had a structure in place where five of the Rotary Clubs were already working together on a joint fundraiser, the platform, the foundation was there in order to then reach out to the remaining Rotary Clubs and bring them together under the banner of United Rotary Clubs of Southern Oregon. And then collectively, we could go to work to start bringing relief and recovery efforts to our community that was so devastated.
With this tragic event, the United Rotary Clubs of Southern Oregon was formed, uniting all 10 Rotary Clubs here in the Rogue Valley. This was a feat that Leanne Mobley had wished for many years.
It just, again, in my mind, seemed the most efficacious and honestly a way to highlight Rotary as an entity and an organization that we all came together and did it under one umbrella of United Rotary Clubs of Southern Oregon. It felt right to me. I mean, it came together really easily, and it really helped, you know, further strengthen and create bonds between the clubs.
With the organizational structure in place, including representatives from all the different Rotary Clubs on the board of URCSO, the next step was to determine how to help the community.
Because of relationships with the Phoenix Talent School District, we and the Latino community, my club, who's done a lot of work in that area, we reached out to one of our key contacts there and asked her, you know, what is it that Rotary could be doing to help you now? And she actually was the inspiration to say that so many of the small business owners had been devastatingly impacted by the loss of their homes and their fire, because they were small business owners working out of their homes or out of their garages, and that's where there was a great need. And of course, she was our link to that community. So bringing that back to United Rotary Clubs of Southern Oregon, we looked at that, and that was really the inspiration where we decided we would do the Back to Work program.
Past District Governor and Service Above Self Award recipient Chuck Root played a prominent role with the United Rotary Clubs of Southern Oregon. Hear how he shares how funds were raised for this project.
Yeah, so we have been raising money for this effort in a few different ways. Much of it has come from individual Rotarians and the Rotary Clubs in the area. We've had help from a Rotary Club or district in Colorado and one in, I believe, Wisconsin. A lot of the money has come from the Rogue Credit Union and Oregon Community Foundation. A lot of it's come from the Oregon Community Foundation as well. The total so far, I believe, is about $377,000.
Gary Daniel with Daniel Excavating was one of the Back to Work grant recipients. Hear what he has to say.
You know, you always sit and watch the news about people that, you know, they go back to their house and all there is a foundation and a graveyard of burnt appliances, never knowing that someday you would be a member of that club. Inspired. I had always seen the Rotary emblem and knew people that were in Rotary, but never knew what the actual purpose of Rotary was until after the fire. Yes, there were certain tools that I definitely needed that were gone with the fire. So with the grant money, we were able to replace our welder, a bunch of our hand tools I had lost. So our downtime was very minimal with what had happened to us.
Great.
We're just extremely grateful for the Rotary and what they've done for us. I mean, they reached out to us. We had no idea that what Rotary was about, but we will continue to support Rotary and projects in the future because of how gracious they were to helping us.
Simple Machine Winery and Tasting Room owners Brian Denner and Clea Arthur were among those individuals that lost their business during the Alameda fire. I personally had the pleasure of delivering a back-to-work grant check to them. Hear what they have to say.
We are so grateful for the Rotary Club for the Back to Work grant, and we plan to use the funds to replace our Interstate 5 highway signs. So we'll be on the north and south exits, along with off-ramp signs, and we're just thrilled to have that presence back again for people to know that we're back open. It's just a really great advertising. It's also really great for talent to have this cluster of wineries that you see on the freeway and you go, oh, we can get off here and taste at six different wineries. So that's really great for talent. We also hope to use the funds to replace some permanent signing on the building as well.
The Simple Machine Winery story is really a fantastic success story here in Southern Oregon. Brian and Clea jumped right on the recovery using the funds that they had, and they were particularly under the gun because of the business they're in to make the crush season so they would have wines for this next year. And I believe they were one of the very first businesses to get rebuilt from the fire.
So we were able to rebuild on the same foundation where we were before. So we are exactly on the same spot. And we also left the floors the way that they are, basically. So they have fire scars on them. They have this history that we went through is evident on the floors. You can actually see where some barrels burned and there are circles. And it is a reminder of the fact that, you know, we persevered and that we came back after all this devastation. And I feel like the floors have kind of this history, this patina now that is akin to like an old Western or something, you know, that you come in and you're like, there's something that happened here. It's not all just shiny and new. It has this history that we'll obviously never forget.
The Back to Work program effort aided hundreds of individuals and businesses get back on their feet, from landscaping businesses to house cleaning services, auto mechanics, to home-based businesses. Our Rotary community came together, and I want to thank all of those individuals that did participate in this program that are too numerous to name. Thank you.
One of my favorite parts of this whole podcast has been meeting Adriel Gámez, the young man whose family lost everything in the fire, lost his family photos, lost all their possessions, lost their apartment. And through all of it, Adriel has finished school at Phoenix High School, ran track, and recently told me that his college is now entirely paid for through a Ford Foundation scholar grant. He is certainly an example of rising from the ashes.
I consider myself very fortunate, but one has to always look at the bright side, and things happen for a reason, and I don't know why I was fortunate. I don't know why, but I had a lot of people to thank, like the owner and their sons, that they happened to be here, that I happened to have bottled water in the driveway. I mean, my house would have gone otherwise.
Scars are going to run deep for many, many years. And obviously, people will never forget this experience in their entire lives until communities are really rebuilt, and then that will take years.
We're in this for the long term in our district. And our role as leaders is to be here for the long haul, not for the first 24 hours, not for the first month. We'll be here, and we're still here. We are still giving out funds for people who survived these fires.
Even though this series is coming to an end, the story is still not over. As we speak, there are additional Rotary funds that are being provided to help those still in need from this devastating fire. Thank you for joining us on the Almeda Fire, Rising from the Ashes, and I hope you will continue to listen to other Rotary stories on The Voices of Rotary.
There is so much need out there. Have you ever wondered how you can help? Join us for the journey at voicesofrotary.org.